with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Food delivery companies are facing some challenges outside of big cities. We'll have the details with Wall Street Journal reporter Heather Haddon coming up in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. Paul Manafort, President Trump's former campaign chairman, faces his second sentencing in less than a week on Wednesday, this time in Washington, D.C. Manafort is facing up to 10 years in prison for two additional crimes after pleading guilty in connection with violating a foreign lobbying law and witness tampering. The judge will decide whether that sentence will run concurrently or in addition to the 47 months in prison Manafort was sentenced to last week in Virginia on tax and bank fraud charges. More Brexit votes are scheduled this week after British lawmakers voted down Prime Minister Theresa May's latest deal on Tuesday. Next, lawmakers will decide whether to leave the European Union without a deal in place. Experts say it's highly unlikely the no vote would pass, meaning the next step is deciding whether to delay Brexit. The United Kingdom had been set to leave the EU on March 29th, but a delay is now likely. Dick's Sporting Goods is removing guns from 125 stores despite a decline in sales after changing its policies last year following the fatal school shooting in Parkland, Florida. The company says it will replace firearms in those stores with other sporting gear. After the Parkland shooting, Dick's decided to remove assault-style weapons from all of its stores and stop selling guns to buyers under the age of 21. As the battle over drug rebates continues in Washington, United Health Group has announced plans to expand on its efforts to pass rebates directly on to consumers. The company says it will now require employers that sign new contracts after January 1st of 2020 to do so. United Health began passing rebates directly on to consumers under certain employer plans earlier this year. The company says so far its program has lowered costs for affected consumers by an average of $130 per prescription. Still to come, we'll have more details on the challenges food delivery companies are facing outside big cities. Food delivery companies are racing to expand service, but they're facing a number of challenges, especially in rural areas. Those include finding drivers to make deliveries, plus the expense of getting meals to customers further away. Reporter Heather Haddon has been covering these issues as part of the Wall Street Journal series, The Delivery Wars, and she joins us now via Skype from Chicago. Heather, the benefits are obvious for food delivery companies here who are able to troubleshoot these challenges. This is a huge market to capture right now.
Absolutely. So all these food delivery companies, most of which were founded in big cities, many of them along the coast, are now looking for new growth. So they are expanding into the suburbs and smaller cities to try to get new customers. And it's really become a land grab at this point about who can get in there first, try to capture new markets, and show their investors that they are growing. But of course, doing this is challenging. So in a lot of these markets, there really isn't a gig economy driver pool already established. So these companies have to establish that. They have to recruit workers who are willing to do these flexible hour shifts. They have to sign up the restaurants or grocery stores to be interested in the service. They have to get demand from customers. So there's a lot of legwork that comes into expanding into these areas. The plus side is for these companies, it can help, again, show growth to investors that their ideas and this model is workable outside just the biggest cities, which is what they really want to try to prove at this point.
And these problems you found are also amplified in smaller cities and suburbs where consumer habits really play a big role. You found, for example, that in many of these areas, residents are more likely to go pick up food themselves rather than have it delivered. So you're really talking about changing consumer habits.
Yeah. So again, a lot of these companies were founded in big cities where people don't have cars. So a lot of folks, you know, in New York, LA, they don't have cars. And so they're used to ordering for food or ordering for other things because it's just a convenience factor. Say they're at their office desk all day, they just want the food delivered to them now. And there's so many restaurants that are willing to do that, that it's just become second nature. So in these suburbs and smaller cities, that culture and that custom is not as much established. So these companies are having to in part to drum up that interest and thirst from customers and from retailers and restaurants who might not be used to thinking about delivering to do that. That said, you know, a lot of these delivery services have been around for a number of years now. And as people, say, get familiar with them in the bigger cities, but then maybe move into the suburbs as they get older, maybe move into smaller cities, the knowledge about them is expanding. So some of this is just an evolution of the marketplace over time.
What are the challenges of signing on local restaurants to use outside delivery services, especially for those who may have their own delivery employees?
So a lot of the full service restaurants don't have delivery services. So traditionally, delivery, particularly in, you know, smaller cities in the suburbs, has been concentrated with pizza or Chinese food, where the operations are very simple. It's very simple packaging. They usually do hire and employ their own delivery services there. But for these full service restaurants to get all this packaging, to hire their own staff, to do these delivery orders without necessarily enough volume to guarantee it's worth their while, it's very expensive and it's a real risk. So on one hand, proponents say that outsourcing this service to these third-party companies like Grubhub or DoorDash, it takes the risk away because they're doing most all the work. On the other side, they can charge very high fees to the restaurants to perform these services. So it really depends if you generate new business through this. If you do, if you generate a lot of new business through this, this can be worth the investment and time. If you don't, then it probably isn't.
Competition is also growing among food delivery companies to get into this space. You mentioned DoorDash. There's also Instacart, Grubhub, among many. Are any of them standing out from the crowd in this regard in terms of building out in smaller cities and the suburbs?
It's interesting that this is really a very dynamic space. So Shipt, which is one of the competitors to Instacart, actually was founded in Birmingham, Alabama. So they have been operating in a lot of these smaller cities for a long time, longer than Instacart in many ways. One of the restaurant delivery companies I talked to called Waiter, they were founded in Louisiana. So they too have been operating these smaller regional areas than Grubhub for a longer time. So as these bigger companies move into this new terrain, they are finding that there's local and also established players that they have to fight against to try to woo retailers and restaurants to give them business and to woo customers.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Heather Haddon joining us via Skype from Chicago. Thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.